myself, I want to give a little bit of an introduction of the centrality of Midas and Torah. I think I need a little introduction. What are we coming to work on Bichlal when we work on ourselves? So, everybody knows that the Mir Yeshiva was the only one that was saved from the European yeshivas in mass. Traveled through Russia, made it to Kobe, Japan, eventually to Shanghai. Shanghai's in China?
Yeah, but at that point it was controlled by Japan, in the Shanghai area.
Okay, so they're in Shanghai, and there was an interesting mix of different Jewish cultures then, because it was a miflat, a place of refuge for a lot of people, right? Meaning the Mir, and there were others who made it out, Baruch Hashem, individuals, things like that, and they're sending rebbes. Anyway, so one time, Blay Box, who was an enormous Talmud Chacham, eventually was the Rashiv of Detroit. Yeah, the Rashiv in Detroit, they say he could do the pin trick, you know. He had the ability to do the pin trick, they say. Anyways, he was still a Bacher then, and he ran into a Rebbe. My guess is it's the Amshin of a Rebbe, because I know the Amshin of a Rebbe was in Shanghai, but it's not Muchach, because it could have been some other Rebbe. Anyways, they said to him like this. In 1936, Rabbi Yerucham had died. That was, you know, 5-6 years before, depending on the year. So he said, 4 years before, he says, you know, I heard so much about Rabbi Yerucham. Tell me about Rabbi Yerucham, right, the famous Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva. I mean, so he gave him a whole Torah about him, about the bad midas in a person, how a person's born with bad midas, and working on it, etc. And Amshin Rebbe said was very, this Rebbe was very, very taken by the story. So it was amazing, amazing Dvar Torah. But I have one question. Me with my Hasidim, the way I work is like this. Imagine you're in a building, right? If you go up, up, up in the building, so you're going to see this beautiful panoramic view. If you look out from the first floor, all you're going to see is a bunch of garbage. You know, you see the garbage cans, you see the lower side of life. Like, so that's how I am. I'm roaming my Hasidim, and I bring them up to a high level, and I let them look out from there to grab the vistas of Yiddishkeit, the vistas of life, not the low-level things. So I don't understand. Even Ruchem's Dvar Torah was great, but why are you guys always talking on that level? That was his question. So Rabbi Leibach was an Eretz person, an Erlich person, and it bothered. And he went to Rabbi Ruchem's successor of Chatzik Levenstein, who would eventually become the Mashkiach Panovich, the famous Mashkiach Panovich, or Yecheskel's 7/8 Svarim of his. You know, many of the Mashkichim today were, you know, Revolba was very close to Rav Chatzki Levis, Revolba was very close to Rav Yerucham, of course, also. Very mushba from Rav Yerucham. Anyway, so he asked him, you know, what Lechor the Rebbe is right, you know, it sounds like a good question. Why talk on low level? So he said, tell him about Sasson's house. That was his answer. Tell him about Sasson's house. What was Sasson? Sasson was a rich Jewish person in Shanghai, amongst the many rich people who were in Shanghai. And they, like rich people will do, you know, didn't have room to build their big mansions in the town. So they went to the outskirts of the town. They built themselves beautiful mansions. You know, and Sasson was one of them. Problem was, Sasson's house was on a landfill. You know, landfill is.
It's sick.
So, you know, eventually the floor started tilting. Floor started tilting. That was Rav Chatzkel's answer. Tell me about Sasson's house. Meaning, and this is the point, that when I say like this, let's say the new building, this building. Let's say the new building, it's more dramatic. You know? What's the most important part of the new building? You know, is it the essentials room? Is it Rickless? Is it Julie? Is it Baron? Is it Julie? Right, is it Julie? Most important. What? You go with Eric.
The draw with the folders, real coffee. Good.
Most important part is the foundation. You know, any other building you can redo. Imagine if there would be a serious fault in the foundations of the new building, what that would mean. I mean, could you imagine for a second? You know, could you imagine for a second what it would mean? I mean, you'd have to, just to get to it, to work on it, to how much damage been done already to the rest of the structure because of it, right? You're one little iota off from the blueprint, so there's untold damage going to be caused by that, right? So for sure the foundation is the most important, but no one sees it, right? No one sees the foundation, but yet that's the most important part. So same thing, this is the nekuda of where midos are in Torah, right? And this is something that Revolba always used to, didn't say this mice, I heard this mice years later, I never heard it from Revolba. Revolba always used to bring and he brings in the Svarim also, Reb Chaim Vital, which I'm sure some of you heard, they did it, you know, he explains, how could it be kolakois kilo vid avodah zara? If you're angry, it's as if you did avodah zara. The Baruch Hashem puts up with a lot of garbage. We think we put up with garbage. Baruch Hashem deals with a lot more garbage in the world, you know? And he can deal with anything. And he's close to anything. Lo mastim, lo galtin, lo chalos and brisitam. One thing that Baruch Hashem can't handle is a bal gaiva. Ani b'hu lo yichom l'dur b'dir achas, k'fif achas. I can't live with a bal gaiva. So why are midas so chomer? Why call it? You understand how Chomer Avodah Zarah is, stam, I saw Meshech Chochma, Zovech Lelikim Levado, Bilti Lashem Levado Yacharam. And Avodah Zarah, it's Bilti Lashem Levado. Avodah Zarah is not, it's only to, in that thing, everything the Ribbono Shel Olam is matir. Right, Shabbos is mutter for certain situations, pikuach nefesh. Right, avodah zara, you have to die before you do avodah zara. Bilti lashem levad, it's only to God. Avodah zara is kol kofer b'kilu, kofer b'kol tarakula, kol moda b'kilu, kofer b'kol tarakula, whatever way I said it. Yeah. Avodah zara is the whole Yiddishkeit, the whole business, everything. And kas is in any way on the same barometer? Is it the same temperature? Is it same midah? Is that, how could that be? Right, that's what Chaim Vital says. So he says that the two halakim to man, this is a very important thing, because I'm understanding called Torah Kula, there's the Nefesh HaTachton, and Nefesh HaShvela, something like that, and Nefesh HaYona. And mitzvahs speak to the Nefesh HaYona, right? Like I always say, when you say Torah is lessons for living, I think the most full, correct way to say that means it's lessons for living a Anshi Kodesh life. You know, Ben Franklin's also lessons for living. Aristotle is also lessons for living. Stephen Covey is also lessons for living. Dale Carnegie is also lessons for living. But our lessons for living is Anshi Kodesh Tiyuli to get to the next world. It's a different roadmap, theoretically. It's lessons for living on this lower level, but it's also lessons for living on the higher level. And Midas's place is on a different Marechet, and that's why Midas aren't part of Torah, he says, really. Aren't mitzvahs so much. You know, some mitzvahs you could, every mitzvah is related to Midas, like we'll say, but the makom of Midas is to the Nefesh Tachtona, the Nefesh, the foundational Nefesh of a person. Right, so mitzvahs are talking to my higher state of being, right? My taryag, it's talking to my higher state of being, right? And midas are talking to me in my lower state, and they are the foundation. And Chaim Vital says that's why they're so chomer, exactly like this smaisa. That's why midas is so chomer, because they are the foundation. So if something is off in the midos, so then eventually you're going to get to everything, just like if something is off in the foundation of the new building, you can get to every aver and every despicable, terrible thing from this. And this is what we see. Lemaisa, just to give one example, but if, unfortunately, we can give many examples in history. You know, Misil Sharm says that, brings the Chazal, I think it's a Zohar, that everybody knows that the door, the spies, the Meraglim, were garnering, obviously, untold destruction of the Jewish people. I mean, 40 years of wandering, that whole door was killed out. You know, such a fate. And what was it? So we know that the Meraglim and certain cheshbonos were higher than Yeshua. Yeshua was listed fifth or sixth, and the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says it was listed in the level of chashivas. That means they were more chashiv. If you look, like, who's going to be the manig? You know, the fifth number, fifth person you would have said was Yeshua, and those other four people, you would have said they were them. And what took, so how could they go that far off? So the Mishael Sharm brings the Chazal, it says, because of Kabbat, they were worried that here we have a certain position in the Midbar, we know where we stand, we're going to get to a new reality in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a whole new Hanaga, a whole different way things run, Kiyadua. It's a whole different, you know, it wasn't just a geographical change, it was a whole change in how Klai Yisrael worked. All by Midbar, it's a transfer from being Klai Yisrael like this to Klai Yisrael like that, as the Nasi points out in his Hakdama, right? And they didn't know where their place was going to be in that new thing. And that was Gorim them, that was Ma'aveit them from seeing everything Ori, seeing everything crazy. Now, I always add that when you would ask them, they wouldn't necessarily say that. They would explain to themselves, they would give you proofs and rayas, and this is how it is. But the whole thing was a negia of kavod, which made them see everything in the wrong way. That's a great example. So here you have people, gedolei hador, mamish, and there are others, you know, gedolei hador, mamish, and because of a bad negia, everything went off, because a little bit of kavod in the wrong place went off, you know. And that's it, and that's just one example. But everybody could think of a jillion examples, and you know, so much machlokas in Klal Yisrael. Where's it coming from? Everybody's convinced they're totally right. You know what I'm saying? But everybody can't be totally right. And chassidias, yeshivas, communities, shuls, you get destroyed one after the other, and it's all over. You know, Naftali Schiff quoted one time a certain rav that he knew. He said there wasn't an ir ve'im b'Yisrael. There wasn't a town in Klal Yisrael that didn't have serious machlokas before the Holocaust. You know. Who knows how much, I'm not saying, you know, but who knows how much that's Gorim, Heres V'Chorban, you know, and everything, you know, so destruction, you know, how much Inui Nefesh there is, how much, yeah, this week's Parsha, you know, Yisomim V'Almanas, what it does, and Kol Adam as well, so you can't be mad at people, it's very, but when your Midas are off, so then everything can go off from there. So anyway, that's the Chitzutz, that was what That was what Reb Chatzig was saying, that you should go tell this rabbi. You know, that's what, and you see sometimes people run to, this is the last note on this. I see sometimes people like run to Hasidus. There's a lot of great things for a person to find in Hasidus. And certainly not everybody who runs to Hasidus is this. But I have seen people have serious issues with anger, with themselves, with other things. And, you know, it's convenient for them to run to Hasidus because of the Elyonus and things like that. You know, I don't want to deal with my anger issues. I don't want to deal with my Kpeda, my Gaiva. You know, just deal with Shalashudas is Gevaldig, you know. Kavaldig, you know, it's a beautiful time, Shalosh Shudas. Make the whole week Shalosh Shudas. Make the whole week Elyonistic. Don't talk low, don't deal with your issues, don't be down and low. So there's points to that. But there's a tremendous sikun that we don't deal with ourselves really where we are. Okay, so now that's one hakdama. So the way, just a little bit, I like to, you know, the way we're gonna specifically do things that, you know, I was taught, you know, watching my Rebbe Rav Leichter and running different Vada Baruch Hashem in Yeshiva and out of Yeshiva, I used to have in Telstone. So, you know, you work with small Kabbalahs on something. You know, we speak about the meat a little bit. You do small Kabbalahs. And I was thinking that really there are three purposes. It was very important. Three purposes of things that we're going to, the Kabbalahs we're going to make, the way I see it. You know, it's a mod chashuv to understand. And I think it's best to explain things as we go. So as we talk and there's some opportunity to explain a little bit what the philosophy is or what the methodology is, I think is a better word. What's my methodology, if I would. You know, I'll explain as we go, as opposed to just laying it down. But one thing is part of this lot is uncovering the mida in yourself. See? Let's say when you go, let's say, in a conditional approach, you're not really trying, it's not as much, there's like mass introspection on one side, and there's heavy conditioning on another side. Right? And mass introspection means that, like, you just pull out of life, I think about myself, and I, you know, you could do it in a psychological way, etc. That's one level, and then there's a person who doesn't deal with that at all. I'm just going to condition myself, you know, bang away and just do things repeatedly. Right? Those are two poles in how a person could work on himself. This is what I learned from life. That was more something, I guess, in the middle. It's like you want to see where you are with the thing. You want to uncover the me in yourself. You want to uncover and understand yourself. It's more like, it's not like introspection disconnect. It's like, look how you are with this thing. You understand? Be like, we're going to talk about kapeda, about being exacting and unforgiving. So I can think, well, why am I exacting and unforgiving? Because my mother was, you know, back then, or I had this episode in my life, or I could just be like conditional, not think about this. Here it's somewhere in between that it's like, you try to cop yourself as you're actively living life to see how you are that way. That's the way, that's where we deal with things more. You hear it? You understand the
like an
point?
Observation.
It's more observing. Yeah, that's the word. It's observing. That's a very important point. And that's a very important point. Observing, as I said on the mission to the people, you know, one thing I saw about Rav Leichter, which is gewaldig by him, you know, gewaldig. And I don't know if everybody was like that. But you see, he is so observant of himself. And he's so, we don't like being observant of ourselves because we don't want to necessarily reveal things about ourselves, not to our spouses, not to our friends. Rav Leichter is like so, if you know him, he's just like a totally unbridled, what's the word I'm looking for? He's like a totally unbridled person, right? He's like totally comfortable. At a wedding, he's a very chashev rav. He wears a frog, the whole business, hundreds of talmidim. And he took his son-in-law, put him on his shoulders. You know, this is not something, trying to imagine my father-in-law putting me on his shoulders. First of all, he break his back. But besides that, in 1,000 years, he would never, it's not the stance, you know, it's just not, you know, my father-in-law happens to be Rashi, but without him being Rashi, we just wouldn't do it. You know, like, it's like, oh, you know, get, and if in Kfar put your son on. No, he takes his son-in-law, puts him on his shoulder, starts dancing around. You know, that's a person who's unbridled. But the beauty of that was that he could speak about himself in total openness. And he wasn't ashamed of himself. A person is totally not ashamed, doesn't have any busha, you know, in a healthy way. Because when you're like that, so then you can put yourself in front of yourself and say, oh, that's interesting. And I thought, I'm Taka Russia, you know. I didn't think I was such a Russia. I say, I am a Russia, you know. Or he said one time, I realized that if I would think, I could come up with tens of examples of this, but he said one time, am I speaking too fast? It's okay. He said that, you know, I realized I demand more of my daughter, my 6-year-old, than I do of myself in Taiva Zachila. And so that's like a certain, here's in front of Talmidim, he's 45, 50 at the time. I'm more demanding my 6-year-old than I am myself. But he wasn't saying like, it wasn't one of those like mashkichim, I'm speaking to myself, you know, a setup and that, you know. He was like, he's like that, patuach batzmo. So that was one of the things I saw by himself, to observe, like Batzal used a good word, to observe yourself, you have to need, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to put it all out here. I don't know how that'll work in terms of, you know, people talking about things. That I have to figure out what's the best way to do that. But in terms of the way you are, that you can observe yourself, is one of the healthiest things in the world, because we all start. Everybody could take right now an example of a good midah they have, right? You're convinced you have a good midah. And you'll never see where you're weak in the midah, because you're always convinced that you're very, very strong in that midah, right? I'm a totally honest person, right? So I can't, the sheker has no place by me, let's say, right? It just doesn't exist by me. I don't know what sheker is, right? And you say, yeah, okay, but you exaggerate. Well, my exaggeration can't be a steer to my honesty, because I'm absolutely honest. So, but then you learn something about yourself. The fact that you could exaggerate is something, means you're not finished in your midas emes, because if you were finishing midas emes, you wouldn't want to exaggerate either. You know what I'm saying? Exaggeration is a small level of sheker. It's not the worst thing. Yeah. No, but my munach, and I'm not observing myself. I'm not learning from myself. And v'chein on the other side, very important. We don't consider what strengths we have sometimes in a lot of ways, because we don't really observe ourselves. Or if we do, it just goes straight to gaiva, because we don't observe ourselves. You get it? Not non-nagua, our lack of ability to observe ourselves in a sterile way, as if we were someone else looking at ourselves, you know, who liked us, let's say, and not our parents, but some friend who could look at us objectively. We're totally limited in dealing with ourselves. So you can do all the introspection you want, you know, but you're not touching where you really are, because you don't really, your hanach is that you're bad in this way or good in this way, and therefore you can't get anywhere. You know, makes sense. You understand what I'm saying? That was one of the main things I saw about life, like a total honesty, and I saw why it's so important, because otherwise you can't really work. Yeah, you got it. So that's definitely a point of the Kabbalah. I mean, as you're doing something, you're like, you have to look. What does it show about you? Why is it you can't do this? Why is it that it's hard for you? What is it in you that's, yeah? But the first step is just being real with where you are about something and accepting of the fact that you're either this and that, and you can look at it, and you can look at yourself and say, I'm really good in this way, and not become a bad guy above it, and you can look at yourself and say, I'm really bad in this way, and not be broken by it. Yeah, that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Just like you'll be with someone else, you know, there it is. Okay, interesting. You know, it's not a Russia because he has that bad midah, and he's not a tzaddik because he has this good midah. There's no reason to miskoa. So you have to be the same way with yourself. And then obviously we want to be mischanech in the thing. You know, we want to, that's one toelis. Other thing is to be mischanech in the thing, to learn about the mid itself, not necessarily klapi ourselves, but to learn about whatever midah, like Rav Noach would always say, Torah amanas lasos, right? Amanas lasos is the most important. I asked the Rishiva Zatzal one time, what's the most important of the Kinyani Torah? Not surprising, he said, is amanas lasos, you know, is actively. And I know he has a whole shtickle that that's part of the shlemus of Torah, of the Torah itself, is putting things lemaisa, right? So if you want to understand the midah, you hear a shmooze, but you don't really know what it is until you're mischanech in it yourself, until you're working with it yourself. You don't really get it until you're working with it. Yeah? And finally, we want to misraga. We want to improve in the thing. And by going through the different things, the Kabbalists we do, so we're misraga, it gets us used to them, and we start to get somewhere. Okay, so those are three Tohel Elio from the Kabbalah.
What is the...
Right?
The
observing it. We learn to observe things, and we uncover it in ourselves. We learn through doing them. Through doing them, we learn to be mischanech in the thing itself, to understand better the thing itself. And finally, we learn how to put the midah into ourselves. See, a lot of times you'll jump and say, well, of course, I have to do it because that's how I put it into myself. But there's a lot more to it than that. We'll talk more about that as we go. Yeah.
I'm not quite sure I understand the third point of being misragel.
By working, it's just simple. Right? The Rambam says by chesed. How does a person become a baal chesed? You do it, and you're mishanah. I mean, it's conditioning. That is like conditioning more. Yeah. By going through it, by doing so. As opposed, I hear a shmooze, it's a great idea, but I don't put anything into practice, so that stays only in my head. You know, my new statement. V'yadata yom v'ashevosa el yadecha. You know it, and put it into your hands, put it into your lemaisa world. V'yadata yom v'ashevosa el yadecha. Even if you're meshiv el lev, lev is a dargan seichel. It's really... No, v'yadata yom v'ashevosa el yadecha. Put it into your hands. When you put it into your hands, so then things become real to you. Then you you can really get better at the midah. Okay? Like the first two would be if I was just writing about myself in the midah. This is how I would write about myself in the midah. Right? I'm writing a report on Kpeda. So I can't write the report unless I'm doing Kabbalahs on it. Yeah? But I'm not necessarily gonna get good at it. But there's a tachlis also you get good at. We wanna reach the tachlis of being less obviously in our negative way. And we won't do that unless we act actively in the thing. Okay? All right, the next thing, we're almost there, is that, you know, Rabbi Yisrael was the king of Midas work. All right, that's, everybody knows that. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, this is just not true. It happens to be in this, if we're going to discuss, I figure if it goes and we worked on the end of this man, maybe we'll work on, you know, different, what I call the Rabbi Yisrael's four horsemen. I think it happens to be a little bit of a Christian reference. Maybe I should get rid of that term. I checked it online, you know. but it's not just a Christian. We're using the non-Christian reference. I heard it first from a Jew, John Gottman, the term for the four horsemen. So we're not exactly in Yisrael word. But anyway, Yisrael was the king of Midas. Yeah. What I mean was the king of Midas. Yisrael brought a whole new awareness of Venom Chavera to the Jewish people. That was like, brought a whole and complete different awareness. You know, when he was Nifta, they said that there's some Torah that the Gadol Hador become the, based in Shemala. Who's based in Shemala? Who is that? Malachim, right? No, it's the Gedolim will go up from the generation that they're based in Shemala. So Rabbi Yisrael's Talmidim said we have to be really careful about Bein HaMechaveiro, because one thing Rabbi Yisrael's whole life was pushing was Bein HaMechaveiro. And obviously Bein HaMechaveiro, we intensely understand how that relates to Midos. So therefore Rabbi Yisrael, you know, that was, there are many, many stories about that. Rabbi Yisrael, what was they asked him one time, what's the most important Chumra and Fias Matzahs, making matzahs? He said not to work the Almana too hard. You know, and Rabbi Yisrael himself, since back then, before they had water in the house, so he would always use a small shear in the TLC dime, not to, so the Misharetis wouldn't have to go, so the maid wouldn't have to go out to get the water. You know, you'd only wash the lir, let's say, or something like that. Then you could wash the lir, let's say, not the whole hand. But all types of things like that. Mati Berger, I heard, said, you know, what was Yisrael said, what's the Iker Kavan and Atifas Talis, and putting in your talis, not to smack people, which really people are not makban on, especially in these small shuls. I've gotten a lot of smacks recently. And it's possible, I'm telling you, the talis works just as well if you go like this, as opposed to, you know, and it hurts, you know, you can manage. Thank God I have glasses, you know, you could.
I heard it 3 years ago, and always that's my kavanah now.
Right. No, but that was Yensim, so I'm saying, it's like, it's Rabbi Yisrael Yensim, it wasn't like he was just a maggid, he was coming to put a koach into Klal Yisrael. You know, they didn't know what Bali Tshuva were until Rav Noach came around. They didn't know what these, what does it mean? Talmid Chacham always knew this thing called Kirv, and there was, you know, there's always a Parsha of Arvis, but he brought it to the forefront. So Rav Yisrael brought these things to the forefront, you know, and it still lives on in certain yeshivas, at least, these types of ideas, okay? So Lamaisa, so, okay, with no further ado, so I guess we'll just go another 10, 15 minutes, we have a little longer introduction. I think it's an important introduction. So we're going to focus on being on Hakpada, all right? So Bisrael has this thing, so this is a wonderful saver called Torah Ser Bisrael, very hush of a work, where they compiled tons of stuff, and they have all types of things you don't find in other places. So he talks about the Midah of Hakpada. I don't want to say all of the things he says, we'll leave them for later, but he has like four horsemen. He calls Gaiva is like the grandfather of these bad Midas. Right, Anochius, ego, haughtiness, arrogance, etc. Gaiva is the great grandfather. He calls it Avi Avasatoma. And then there are three Avasatoma, which we're going to discuss those three. I don't know if we'll go, which is a nice way to deal with Gaiva, because as opposed to dealing with Gaiva, we're going to deal with the toldus of Gaiva, what Gaiva does in us. And one of the things that Gaiva does in us makes us be machben on other people, right? If you imagine for a second, what is machben? Again, like exacting and unforgiving, right? When I said this I spoke about this in the mission, so one lady said being a yaki, right? And that doesn't mean being a yaki. Being a yaki, you could be on time all the time and very masudr and be a very forgiving person, very not exacting with other people, right? You can makbid, it's very good. Makbid is not a bad word. Yeah. A makbid in halacha, that's a very good word. A makbid with my time, that's a very good word. A makbid with my charus, that's a very good word. A makbid not to come late, that's a very good word, right? We're talking about you don't know how to break out of that attitude when it comes to other people. So first, let's just understand that that's obviously related to Gaiva, right? If I would be an egoless person, right, I would be totally forgiving to people. Why not, you know? If I was a Gaivalist person, I wouldn't be mocking on other people. I'm not doing the things I wanted. My kids aren't doing them. My wife's not acting like I want. I'm egoless. I mean, why does my will win out over her will? Why does my will, okay, you didn't do what I did. You didn't do what I wanted. Just like when you see two other people acting, right, one person being mocked on the other, how do you view him? Like, what are you getting so... to us, our kpedas make a lot of sense. You know, it makes total sense. But when we would see it in someone else, we might be forgiving of it, but we don't really get it. You know, why, you know, is that bad that she's a little late, this thing, that. That's for sure coming from Gaiva. Our sense of self says to us that we're allowed to be demanding and unforgiving of people on whatever level. Yeah, that's, we hear that. We hear that. So how bad is this? I want to read you what Rabbi Yisrael says. So first off, Kaptanas hi echa mi arba avos ha'tumah. It's one of the four avos ha'tumah. Sha'alel Amar Admor Zal, he said, Shechazal kol atzdadim, and he looked at all the tzdadim, v'lo matzav ha'shum davar tov, he found nothing good about it. It's nothing good about being this way, you know? Nothing. It's like Bayir Bayimatzi, right? How does a person want Pesach? Not a bit of Pesach, not a bit. I don't want Tarovis in the house. I don't want Chametz Nukshin in the house. I certainly don't want Chametz Vade in the house. I don't want to be Somech on the Mechir. Get all the Chametz out. Now, I want to tell you an important thing. This I mentioned the Shmuz. Jonathan heard it the other day. But when we say that it's Rabbi Sorbo's Chozer al Kol Atzdadim, that means he thought about it, you know, left and right. Right, thought about it from all of its angles. In every situation, you have to understand what that means. Rabbi Sorel had a motor up here. He said about himself that I have a head of 1,000 people. Therefore, I have to change the whole world. It's just, that was the statement he said. That's the statement we have. The Messiah from Rabbi Sorel. I have a head of 1,000 people. Therefore, I have to change the whole world. Right? Meaning, he could think, his son, Rabbi Sorel's son, went off to Derech. And he made an invention. Like, he changed the way they were doing this machine. And he, you know, moved over something, a certain bolt or something, and then the machine worked in a whole different way. And for that, he won some prize. So he went to tell his father about it, Rabbi Sorel. Rabbi Sorel said, show me the picture of what it was like beforehand. You know, he looked at it. Rabbi Sorel looked at it for a few minutes. He said, that one over there, you know, he moved it over. He said, do that bolt over there. You understand? His thinking was step. We don't know how to think 2 steps, 3 steps. He could think 50 steps, 80 steps. So when he says he was chozal kol atzdadim, it doesn't mean with a superficial perusal of the idea. It means he thought about it and thought about it and thought about it, right? And he says this is a media you have to get rid of totally, right? And he says also here, shal adam lachor l'sharshim mikovakol. You have to get totally rid of this media. Ki hi sibel harbe averis. Many averis come out from exactness and being unforgiving. Almost all Averis, Beit Anam L'Chaveiro, is coming from Hakpada. Right? Comes. By the way, I think Rabbi Sorel's Yard said, is this Farsh Mishpatim or something? They said that it was not for naught that he got Mishpatim as well, Beit Anam L'Chaveiro. So I think he died in the Parshas Mishpatim. I just thought, yeah. Okay. The fact that we're mocked and unforgiving about people think, why do you say Lashon Hara about someone? Right? Why am I not nice to someone? Because I have epis very often, not always, but I have like a little kpeid on him. He did something to me. That sets my way of looking to him. I'm a little exacting about what he did. Again, if I would be egoist, okay, so someone did this. So what? I mean, we're still on the same ground. Now, he did something to me. We're not on the same ground anymore, right? I have a little bit of a kpeid on him. Something he did something wrong. So now I'm allowed to speak Lashon Hara about him. I'm allowed to, yeah? You can easily see how, or if we'd be totally egoist, totally... with no kapedas on people, so then we would treat them totally different, okay? Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Sorel offers 3 ways to deal with this mida. So I want to tell you, you know, maybe every week we'll do a different way, we'll see how to work with it. So he says, so what do you do? How do I do, so here you say a person, we all have some degree of exactness and unforgivingness in us, definitely. Definitely, yeah. me be yoser, me be less, right? And the more yekish you are as a person, sometimes it's more like that because you naturally see if you're like that flowy type of person, it takes longer for you to have that on somebody else. And I'm saying if you're very exacting on yourself, so then it's natural or exacting about things. It's easy for you to be more exacting on others, right? But every person has it because every person has his point, yeah. So he says like this. So Natali Amsterdam, one of his Talmidim, asked him, what's the trufa for me to say Kaptanas? Now, again, or if you sell offer to Natali Amsterdam, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for us. You should know that that's another Hagdama, how things work. Like, by us, the way I learned from life, like, it's not like a cookbook. You know, he says, Ali Shor, Chelik Bey, is like a cookbook. You know, saying, working on yourself isn't a cookbook. You understand? That means, because it worked for Revolva 20 years ago, and he says to do this for 5 weeks, doesn't mean it's going to work for you. We try things. It's like an experimental type of thing. It's not like here it is, I tried this, and you know, it's very different just for a frame of reference. No, it would be like, how do you work on something, do this, it's finished. You know, that's how Noach spoke, and that's how he gave over things. So I just have to understand that. That's not what I'm not such a person. I didn't get to such a madriga, and it's definitely not what I was, it's not the approach that I learned. It doesn't mean it was wrong. I'm just saying it's a different approach. In a sense, you have to try things in general. You got it? That's part of it, goes with the same thing of observing. You observe, you try, you see, doesn't work for me, that's not good, it's too hard for me, could not work for us for 20 reasons, right? We either our thinking isn't strong enough, or we're different, our complexion is different. It's not like, you got it, it's important. We try things seriously, but we don't get in a box about them. So he says, think about this. When you imagine a very chashuv, wealthy person, so he always wears all the nicest clothes. You know, he gets his deodorant just like this. You know, and he gets the has his watch around the waist, and he has his pin all in exactly the right place. You know, the tie has a cleft, just so. He knows how to leave the house just so. You know, make sure every hair is in place. People like this. You know, the cufflinks are just so. His watch isn't. You know. Moving, everything is just so. So now, but what happens when he has a tremendous worry about something? Like he has to pay a lot to the bank, right? And he's going to ask for a loan. So do you think he's going then to, you know, is worried about every hair being in place? You know, make himself sure he doesn't look like a schlepper because he wants to make a nice impression. But the care and the exactness and the unforgivingness he puts into himself about having everything just so, he's not going to be like that when has a great concern. You know, we hear that? Boris has lo yak b'kol kach. Ki daiga gdola mashkicha meno ze dvar matzvelim. Because he's concerned, so because he's concerned with bigger things, so those little things, it doesn't really make a difference if it's 3 points or 2 points in my handkerchief. It doesn't really make that much of a difference. In terms of what I have to get done now, that I have to borrow $1 million in 2 days, it's not so important, right? Right now, when you have a lot of time, so then everything has to be just so. But when I have a great concern on me, so I realize that doesn't make such a difference. I don't have time to think about all those little things. Hadaiga hagdol mashkicha b'meno at hadvar matfeilim. His great concern makes him forget the small things. Kena adam. Kishi is born in machovasa bolomo. When a person thinks, what's his chov bolomo? Latakin atzmo, latakin acherim. How much I have to work on myself and fix myself and work others, right? That's my chov bolomo, latakin atzmo. Shehi avoda gedol, it's a tremendous avoda. How much do we have to matakin things, right? Neshitara specifically. How much do we have to matakin ourselves? How much do we matakin the world? How much do we have to matakin the organization? Yeah? There's a lot going on. How much? Hadai gedol hazot tosir menos machshavas hevel al odes dvarim pu'utim ke'ela. Like Al Khaveri, he says, I don't have time to have kvei this. You know, like I'm too concerned. If I would really be in touch with how much I have to fix in myself, if I woke up every day, today is a challenge. I have a lot of work to do for myself, a lot of work to do for the yeshiva, a lot of work to do for Klal Yisrael, right? For my friends. Whatever your thing is, but that's what your thing should be. Tikkun atzmo, tikkun acherim. So then it wouldn't be, it makes such a difference. Okay, you did something wrong, you know. Hala, weiter. I just bring this point home. You know, who do you think, at what sug people are the most makbid in general? What stage of life are people the most makbid?
Babies,
interesting. Yeah, they're just babies, but once a person is a bar das, let's start one from the time they have das.
When they're old.
When they're old, yeah, why?
They're like babies again.
Because they have a tremendous amount of time. Yeah. They're not really doing too much. Most old people aren't, you know, chugging. So what do? They chaz, oh, you didn't call. You didn't come. I'm talking about nice old people. It's not, but this is reality, right? It's this very special old person who doesn't have a lot of kapedis. Because there's nothing motoring them, in a certain way they don't have a reason to live in a certain way, God forbid. But they're not living with the topkid so much, so they have a lot of time. So when you have a lot of room for kapedis on other people, it means that you're not busy enough with what you're doing. Yeah, we hear it. Mm-hmm. And when I am very busy, so I just don't, okay, so this happened. I don't have time. I don't, it takes time. Okay, so he did something wrong to me. Say it like, holla, like it's not, you know, we're holding on to our kapedon, we're holding on to our exactness, we're holding on to our unforgivingness. But if we would really be busy, right, then we wouldn't. The arc paid is like that handkerchief, you know. I have to put it in my place. What I exactly think of it? What did he exactly do? Let's remember. What did he exactly do to me? He did that. And what do I remember then? What I ain't getting an aliyah here then? When was it? But I got Hamishi. When was it? When did I got Shishi when? 5 months ago. But it's been 5 months. My friend got this aliyah then. Let's remember. How was it? No. What did he say? I can't remember what he said. Then the chazar again. He said like this. And I. It takes a lot of time. It's an avodah to be makbid. So old people have time for that avodah gedola. And they have time and they chazen and things like that. So that's a very interesting point. I thought specifically in Eshetara, this was a chashuv histaklus on how to, if you'd really be concerned, really be busy, or really be going to sleep thinking about Klal Yisrael, etc., you won't have time for all these this garbage, so silly things. Okay, did something wrong to you? Seder, Vayter, Hala. Yeah, we heard. Okay, so here's my suggestion. So there's two things I like to do just as we're starting. I think, first off, I think everybody should think like about three things that you're machbit about, or people you're machbit on. Again, I don't mean in terms of, you come on time. That's good. I'm talking about whatever comes to something negative. Three things you're negatively machbit on. It could be that I have to have my food a certain way. That could be negative. I can't eat unless it's exactly like this. That could be negative, right? We're not talking about where it's positive. But three things are people that we're machbit about. And to think, are they really legitimate? Right? Does this person have this tying on? Right? We have to start to learn what it is to let go of things, but we can't let go of if we don't know we have it. Like we say, we have to observe ourselves. Like how much do I have this paid in myself? How much is it? So that would be my suggestion. Like three over the week. You guys, like I said, are welcome to meet again. We're gonna meet again on Sunday. But to think like three situations where I have situations about people on that I have a capade on them. I'm upset about them about something that it could be a small thing. It doesn't have to be a world war, but even a small thing that you feel in your relations, not totally chad v'chalak with somebody else, that you're carrying baggage. I know some people have carrying baggage with, thank God not that many, but there are people I have episode baggage with. So that would be an example. Where is it? What's it from? What am I? And then this, I don't even know, think about how we can be more living with this daiga. Like, how can I, if this is the answer, right, this is one of Rabbi Sol's answers, again, it might not work for us, and if it doesn't work for us, that's fine, you're not, right, but to try that, like, how could I more live, not mitzad kepeda, because Rabbi Sol's, he's not saying go straight against the kepeda, right, sometimes it means you go straight against the thing, he's saying get more into your tafkin in life. So, you hear, that means the more I'm into my tafkin in life, the kepeda is going to fall away naturally, it's not, right, if there would be a bomb here, God forbid, if there'd be a fire, I would just run out of the house. I'm not going to make sure that, I'm not going to be mocked. So think about it, and I'll think also, Blinda, there, and we'll see what everybody comes up with. How can we live more with our goals in life? What can we do? Meditation, his bonus, a daily regimen, I don't know what. Right, but how can I live every day in a way more connected to my goal in life? Because the more I'm connected to my goal in life, the less I'm going to be mocked on people. Yeah, okay. Those are my two suggestions. But the point that's saying again, like I said, the ikar is I forget also to do things. But it's very important. I can just talk. For me, it's fun, to talk and whatever. But you won't get nearly as much out of it if just talking about me. This is good, because it's not such a popular thing. People talk about a zillion other things. We don't talk about me this enough. So it's good just to come and sit down and be koveya that I'm trying. Right, but if you can take the time again, and it's very important. This is a success-oriented crowd. Of life, always is telling me this. We're not looking for success so fast. You understand? We're looking to observe ourselves, to be mischanech, to misragel, to understand the sugya better in ourselves. See where it is. And so I don't think it's like, I don't have fast solutions. I don't even necessarily have solutions. I'm not promising solutions, and I'm certainly not promising fast solutions. You get it? But. Mm-hmm. But someone who does what we do will definitely come out with a much better understanding and a tefisa and a understanding of the thing where it's at. Yeah.
Is this like American therapy, the next time we meet, we're going to be like giving over the example?
I think so. I think that's a good idea. I think so. I'll tell you, this should not be so much.